You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Dadd, and today we are talking Marlins baseball. We bring in our Marlins reporter for MLB.com, Joe Fusaro. Joe, the latest from the Marlins is that Starlin Castro wants out of Miami and doesn't want to be part of another rebuild just like he was in Chicago, according to Ken Rosenthal. What are the chances that he's traded this offseason?
Well, time's running out, and there's not a huge market for second baseman. And, you know, the bottom line is he's under contract for two more years, and the Marlins don't have to do anything. You know, I think, you know, they've been open to moving him and any of the players if something made sense. And I really don't see anything really changing there. Obviously, players would prefer to be on contenders and teams redirecting, but I think they're about 10 teams kind of in the same boat the Marlins are in, and 10 teams make the playoffs of the next 20. So it's easier said than done. I don't know how much of that's agent talk or you know, the player. You know, I don't know if the Marlins are speaking to him, you know, just to kind of, you know, appease him. But obviously, Christian Yelich and JT Realmuto have been similar rumblings. Those are the three guys most likely to be moved at some point. And, you know, I think when the time's right, the Marlins will make their move.
So if Starlin Castro does stay with Miami, and that's basically what it's looking like right now, short term, I know maybe not the biggest answer for this team, but could he be a long term part of the rebuild and what's going on down there?
I don't really think so. I kind of always thought, you know, July could probably be a really prime time to move him, as well as maybe some others, as, you know, the next couple of years when teams that traditionally do these type of redirects, guys kind of come in and out at their own pace, and they, you know, they're not just going to give him away. You know, this could kind of be a little similar to 2012 season, 2013, when the Marlins made that huge trade with Toronto and brought in, you know, seven prospects, and among that group was like Jake Mariznick and Jeff Mathis and a lot of others. And, you know, Escobar was part of that deal, and he was going to slide over to third base from Miami. He noted he didn't want to be part of it, and at the winter meetings, they moved him to Tampa Bay for Derek Dietrich. So that's the only thing kind of similar in terms of, you know, my coverage of the team in over 15, 16 years that's kind of like this. You know, he is under contract for this year and next year, and you know, a little bit less than what D. Gordon made, but D. Gordon was under contract three more years and with a club option, and there was a little more of a money priority to move D. So, yeah, you know, these are kind of tricky. You know, sometimes, you know, guys don't always get what they want. And, you know, like I said, the team, you know, when they responded in the past, which was they haven't responded directly on Castro, but when I asked them about Yelich Realmuto, their kind of flatly was when they want to approach teams about potential moves, they will do so. So I imagine that same stance will be in place here regarding Starlin Castro.
So you mentioned Christian Yelich, and obviously there's a large market for him, but the Marlins are asking for a hefty return, understandably because of the control and for the success that he's had over his career. Do you believe that Christian Yelich could find a team elsewhere this season, or do you believe he plays with the Marlins?
It depends on the return. You know, to me, the Washington Nationals make the most sense. Atlanta doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Some of the Chicago White Sox don't make a lot of sense to me. The Dodgers could make a lot of sense, but the Dodgers traditionally don't make overpays. And, you know, the Houston Astros could make a lot of sense if they wanted to go that route. They have the prospects. And the reason why, Alexa, I say with Yelich, first, let's just throw this out there. Christian Yelich and JT Realmuto will be the two biggest decisions that Mike Hill and Gary Denbo and Derek Jeter make. The Stanton trade was money-driven. Obviously, you're not going to get exactly the return, and there's no way to get the return talent for talent for Giancarlo Stanton. But when you're moving that kind of money, you know, $290 million, and the guy has a no-trade clause, a full no-trade clause in his hand, you kind of are hamstrung. You know, you only could get what you could get. D. Gordon, there was money attached. And Marcell Ozuna, you're talking 2 years of control. And there's a real good chance Ozuna spends 1 year in St. Louis if the Cardinals don't contend. So though those trades netted what they would, but Christian Yelich has 5 years of control, very affordable. And that basically, and he's an all-star caliber player who has yet to be an all-star. And they're going to get all-star caliber return for him. If they get anything short of it, it will be, it could set this franchise way back. He is, you know, quite simply, these will be the most important trades if they do pull the trigger. Now they could say to Yelich and Real Muto, hey, look, this rebuild's not going to last forever. I'm Derek Jeter. I know what I'm doing. And we're going to get a real business plan in here and build this team and make it sustainable. And it's not just going to be, you know, just a merry-go-round, the guys coming and going and, you know, no money and no TV and no fans. Do you want to be part of it? If so, you have two building blocks. If not, you're going to be asking for Ronald Acuna. You're going to be asking for Rhys Hoskins. You're going to be asking for Victor Robles from the Nationals. Now the team, I think, if answer your question, could Yelich be moved? A contender is the one that's going to do it. If the Nationals view Christian Yelich as a guy when they really are looking at a one-year window with Bryce Harper still aboard, Victor Robles doesn't get him closer to the World Series. Christian Yelich does. So, you know, the Lerner family, the Nationals will ask themselves, and I think they're the kind of organization that could build up that prospect package and do the overpay that the Marlins are looking for in hopes of, you know, surpassing the Dodgers and getting to the World Series. So they make a lot of sense to me. The Braves, I mean, if the Braves, they're keeping Freddie Freeman, and they got a payroll, and granted, they got a new ballpark and revenue, but, you know, Acuna doesn't help them get to closer. I don't really understand that one, other than maybe just wanting a discount and hoping that the Marlins are desperate and they'll just, you know, give them away, and of all teams available, they have the best prospects. But they're not, they got plenty of guys in their system who are number four, number five caliber starters, and guys that will be fourth outfielders. They don't need to get six of those. They need to get all-star caliber guys, and that's all I would think the Marlins will look at in moving Yelich, and Real Muto is in the same boat.
Yeah, it's interesting because for the Nationals, this would be a pretty uncharacteristic deal. I know that the Adam Eaton deal last year could be very similar, but I think that was out of character for them too, and unfortunately didn't work out for them last year because Eaton got hurt. We'll see what happens this year. But if for some reason this deal is to work out with the Nationals, and let's say that they deem Victor Robles untouchable, do you think that this could still happen, or Victor Robles has to come in the deal to the Marlins?
Well, that would seem the most. I mean, you could look all the way down where they have Soto, I believe, the outfielder. You know, he's a guy with big power, but he's another lefty bat. Robles is a right-handed bat. Pretty much all the bats the Marlins have been getting lately and have internally are left-handed with power. So I would think the Marlins, it would just come down to their evaluation of those two guys, if it's Soto or Robles. And now, obviously, Pipeline has their rankings and so forth, that I don't know whether, you know, one's like 30-something overall, the one's like in the top 10. If they see that much of a disparity, if they think those players are interchangeable, or if maybe they think, you know, in their read, Soto might have more upside. So could he get the deal done? Yeah. You know, it's interesting because the moves previously, and obviously the biggest need for the organization is starting pitching, but, you know, they don't have Stanton Frazuna or D. Gordon anymore. They need, and if you're going to move Yelich, you know, you need a face of the franchise caliber guy who's a position player and preferably someone with 25 home run plus pop. So that's why I think that you're looking at those kind of guys. And again, who knows? Maybe, you know, after more of a clear vision is painted to Yelich, he might say, hey, look, you know, I'm going to see how it looks, and we'll hang around a little while. So I tend to not, you know, traditionally put a ton of stock in December, early January rumblings for players, because normally that time of year, guys, you know, they're not locked in and haven't been through the grind with the team yet. There's the holidays, you know, they just see what the World Series look like. Everyone wants to be part of that, clearly. But, you know, I think as they start feeling what's best for their careers and where their best spots can be, it might be here. I mean, in Yelich's case, if he could go to another rebuild, and who's to say that's going to work out? Because he's affordable to all 29 other teams. You know, I know, I'm sure he'd love to go to San Diego because it's close to his home in California, in the LA area. But, you know, they're a young team on the rebuild too. And now, granted, they supposedly have a great system, and I'm sure they do, but it doesn't always pan out that way. So, you know, I think it's going to be fascinating. Like I said back to the beginning of it, Alexa, this trade is way too important. If it's messed up, this is the type of trades that, you know, will cost accountability. And so a lot of people have to really make sure they're making the right deal on this one. And like I said before, contenders usually are the most likely to overpay, especially teams that have never been in a World Series or clearly want to take that step or see that window kind of potentially closing.
Yeah, the pressure's on, huh? It's interesting that you mentioned Yelich and the Nationals, because I do agree with you that that would be a good fit, but I almost feel like JT Realmuto would be a better fit because they really struggled to get production out of their catcher this last season. So that's why when I heard rumblings of a mega deal, both of them possibly going to Washington, that made a lot of sense to me. Of the teams that have inquired about Realmuto, where do you feel like he fits best?
Well, yeah, you're nailing it right there. It's Washington. Now what I had heard on that front is it was either or both. You know, I'm sure the Nationals could sit around and go, okay, but I don't know how you can have eight prospects basically to, you know, pretty much clean your system out to make that World Series run right now and bring those both in and really have some fun. That might, you know, mean pulling the third team involved, but or, you know, like you said, maybe, you know, Realmuto nets pretty much what Yelich would as well. Why I think, you know, obviously you can make a strong case for both, but I think if you're Washington and you look at Bryce Harper realistically on a one-year, you know, deal where it's all or nothing for the Nats this year with him being part of it, Yelich provides you four more years. And like you say, you got Eaton, you got Michael Blake Taylor, you got players in that system in preparation for if Harper leaves. You know, Yelich doesn't have the power that Harper does, but, you know, here's a guy who could hit number three in their lineup and, you know, kind of keep the ball rolling and put them in position to make their next move. So either one makes a ton of sense. Both of them would be, you know, very rare to see that kind of deal made after, especially now as we're five or so weeks from spring training. You usually don't see that kind of deal because that type of stuff is what you kind of enter your off season with, and you head and you kind of make that kind of deal at the winter meetings, not a month or so later, because budgets and, you know, directions and ownership and everyone kind of on board with that. Those are usually easier fantasy trades than they are big league trades.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Joe, let's talk about the future of this Miami Marlins organization. Last week at the Rookie Career Development Program, their right-hander, Sandy Alcantara, who came over in that Ozuna deal, spoke about his role with the team. What do you believe his future is in Miami?
Yeah, I mean, everything's really promising. You know, some people I have a lot of respect for. Jim Bowden, I heard on the radio say he thinks he has more upside than Luis Castillo, the pitcher they traded to Cincinnati last year for Dan Straley. And obviously the Marlins had Castillo in their system, and there's a lot of people probably wishing they still did. That if this guy has more upside than Castillo, that's very exciting. You know, just writing about him today, and, you know, he sounds like the makeup is there. He's 22. You know, he threw eight and a third innings all relief with the Cardinals last year. Got a chance to, you know, be around Yadier Molina, Carlos Martinez. So obviously you're well-bred if you're coming up through the Cardinals system. You're kind of, you know, learning how to play the game right. He's 22 years old and has like 360 or so minor league innings under his belt. And, you know, again, this is a guy you got to be really careful with. And guys like that tend to, you know, write their own clock and when they could get to the big leagues. And, you know, he could be anything from, I would doubt, opening day starter based on just lack of experience. But, you know, eventually, you know, push him to the top of this rotation if he could get that three-pitch mix going and be really formidable, because his average fastball was over 98 miles an hour, according to StatCast last year, and about 45 pitches that were tracked. So that kind of arm, this guy throws 100 pretty easily. Very exciting pitching prospect they have. But like these pitching prospects, you've got to be really careful with them. You got to get them developed. So my guess would be, and this is being safe, the player can prove otherwise, is he starts off in AAA, and sometime after June, you know, there's no urgency. And, you know, I really want to refine and make it seem when this guy gets up here, he's here to stay. You know, I go back to, you know, Jose Fernandez, who had that maturity and the stuff and the command of the stuff that he could break in at age 20 and just dominate. But that is just so rare, you know, and this guy actually goes harder than what Jose did. But the whole overall package of in the refinement of pitching doesn't seem like it's there. But, you know, that's not to say this guy can't be a legitimate number one, number two caliber guy. And it's going to be exciting to see how he develops. But very careful hands you handle this kid with, in my opinion.
All right. Sounds good. Slowly but surely, we're getting closer to opening day, right, Joe?
Yeah. It's exciting. January is usually the time it kind of accelerates pretty fast. And, you know, guys will start heading into, you know, Jupiter, which happens to be 70-something miles, you know, from where the Marlins are in Miami. And you see guys kind of filtering in, and they kind of get a jump start on it. So, exciting time, and we'll be talking baseball, which is always exciting in the next few weeks.
That's right, one of our favorite things. All right, that's going to do it for us here on MLB.com Extras Marlins Edition. We got a fresh new edition next week, so stay tuned. Big thanks. Thanks, Joe.